There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Time to take a little look at what you might have missed overnight.
So what did I miss? What did I miss?
Now, American Airlines. Now, the headlines with American Airlines, usually they leave you going,
what?
I cannot believe they have done that, don't they?
Yeah, they do, very much so.
They can be quite shocking. However, this weekend, an American Airlines headline actually made us chuckle.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone.
And basically what they've done, they've trimmed the space between rows of seats and shrunk their lavatory cubicles to pack in more. Executives now face suggestions that they've gone too far in their attempt to squeeze more customers in. Some passengers are said to be struggling to extricate themselves from the toilets. Complaints that they were trapping unsuspecting travellers were first raised by Zach Honig, an editor of the website The Points Guy, who crammed into one of the airline's new Boeing 737 MAX planes for a flight from New York to Miami. And he basically said the distance between the seats had been trimmed to just 30 inches. 30 inches? That's bigger than my waist circumference, which is nonsense.
30 inches is tiny.
It's tiny. So it basically meant that he had to type on his laptop with his elbows pressed against his seat. But that wasn't the biggest problem. The two loos at the rear of the plane for their 156 passengers flying in economy class measured just 24 inches from what? 24 inches?
24 inches? My hips are 38 inches. How am I going to get them into a toilet cubicle?
Have to go not wide, Steph, you know, around, because that would be nonsense. Because you're
tiny.
What
do you mean?
You're 38 inches around, is what you're saying, not wide. You're not 38 inches wide.
Oh, yeah.
So you're half that. Half that wide.
So half of 38, 15, 19, 18, 19 inches wide, which leaves me only...
Another 19 inches
six.
For manoeuvrability.
Six
either sides. No.
Six, that's three either side.
Don't ask me about that.
That's 3 inches either side once I get my hips into there. And I'm a size 10.
It's
now that's
good.
Shocking. That is really, really bad. On the inaugural flight, the guy says that I observed a couple of passengers getting physically stuck in the bathroom, having to contort themselves in order to exit the tight space. I'd love to watch my dad do this. That's what I always think when I think of stuff like this. Think of your dad grumbling about it. A passenger who managed to get out of the loo could be heard warning a friend that he should choose very carefully whether he wanted to enter forwards or backwards, as there would be no space to turn around inside.
This is terrible.
It gets even worse. I don't know how it can, but it does. The slimmed-down sink appeared too small to catch the jet of water from the tap, and the flight attendants had complained that the doors of the loo blocked the aisle when they opened. The sinks were so small... You can only wash one hand at a time. And the water tends to spray from side to side. This is according to the LA Times. Joshua Freed is a spokesman for the airline, and he said, "Those bathrooms are not unique to American Airlines. They were the standard offering on the aircraft at the time that we ordered them, and the other airlines use them as well. I've never been in a loo that small."
So in a period of time when people globally are getting bigger, they're making loos smaller.
They are.
Makes perfect sense.
It's a sad thing, but it is happening. The next story is a little bit of fun. A survey by Hilton Hotels and Resorts has found that 6 in 10 of us, unbelievably, would go on holiday with someone that we've been seeing for fewer than 90 days.
We're all going on a summer holiday. No more working for a week or two. Fun and laughter on a summer holiday. No more worries for me or you.
Would you do this, Emma? Go on holiday with someone you'd met less than 90 days before?
No, absolutely not. That's not enough time to get to know someone before you go down that road.
But they're calling it the holiday, and they're saying this is the best way to get to know someone, because if you can travel with them, then... you'll get on really well.
This is true, because some people are terrible to travel. Having travelled with friends over the years, some people are really, really terrible to travel with, and others are just a dream. Amazing.
It can break friendships, I find.
It really, and it has, to be brutally honest. So, yeah, it's a bit scary, isn't it?
When did you first go on holiday with your now husband? Can you remember?
Oh, gosh. I remember when I met him a couple of months later, I went on vacation by myself and left him behind. It was probably maybe about a year.
A year,
I think,
quite a lot.
Probably. Yeah.
trying to think back. I gave Simon a surprise birthday present in the March for his birthday.
Yeah.
And we'd been going out since April the year before.
Okay.
So yeah, nearly about a year as well. And we did get on well. It was fine. Still married. All that kind of thing. We did a little bit of asking around the office. How soon was it into your relationship that you went on holiday? Our Hells from Dubai today.
The first holiday we went on was a mini break to Oman, where my parents were living at the time. So not only was it our first weekend away, he was meeting my entire family. And my brother and his girlfriend broke up on that weekend. So it was quite a high stress situation. And that was about 3 months after meeting.
Sounds like a fabulous time.
Whoa. Sabrina?
I need to actually think about this. Wait a second. It would have been about 5 months into it, and I think it worked out pretty well. Not ultimately, but that particular week went extremely well. She went down to Cornwall. Yeah, it was lovely. Idyllic little week by the seaside. The less said about the rest of the relationship, the better.
Can you spot the mistake there?
Yeah, it's Robbie.
That was definitely not Sabrina. AJ?
Probably just over a year that we went out of the country. We had gone to Abu Dhabi a few times, but yeah, first time out of the country was to Georgia, and that was about a year and a few months.
Okay, and did it all go okay?
Yeah, it was fine. It was. I find that, like, I have traveled with past partners, and you know, you've kind of test your relationship traveling. This time, with my fiance now, we got along really well, and it was great.
So meeting for the very first time at the airport, heading off on holiday together, is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? We did ask the single folk, there's a couple at ARN Towers, would you ever do this? This is Sabrina.
I would never do that. I couldn't think of anything worse. Imagine just going on holiday with someone you don't even know. And maybe it's the worst person ever. It was so boring. And holiday is a time where you want to rest and you want to enjoy with your family and friends. And just going with someone that you don't know how they are, I'm not sure.
So she's not for it. But we did get the male perspective as well from Martin.
I mean, meeting them at the airport is a bit of an overkill. I don't mind at least meeting them once before the plan of traveling together. I don't mind that. At least you meet them once. But at the airport, no way. Like, that's like playing Russian roulette.
Although he was very open to it, wasn't he? He was like, yeah, if I'd met them once.
I think it would depend where you were going. If you were going somewhere that you couldn't get away from them, you know, something very quiet and idyllic, difficult. If you're going somewhere that's lots of hustle and bustle and places to go, then at least you can ditch them when you get the other end if you don't like them.
Great advice from Emma Breen today. Just ditch them if you don't like them and you've gone on holiday. What's the issue?
Fine.
And let us know, would you like to do that? The holiday, it's called. It definitely wouldn't be for me. I'd hate that. When we come back, we're going to be talking food waste. We've got some cracking tips on how to avoid it. And thanks to a supermarket survey, we can give you an idea of how many dirhams you're actually throwing in the bin each week. You've been underestimating, apparently, how much you waste.
So what did I miss?
Tell me, Emma Breen, when it comes to milk, what's your poison?
These days, I would have to say semi-skimmed. I don't like skimmed. It's too watery and horrible. But growing up next to a dairy farm, we used to get what was called a green top or gold top. So it was a full fat, full cream milk. But we used to just go and dip it straight out the tank. So it was full before it had even been pasteurised. So unpasteurised, full fat, full cream milk is what we used to have.
That's
and
amazing.
I miss it.
I can imagine, actually. You know, when I was a kid, I would only ever eat Frosties with double cream on them.
How did you? There was a key to doing your Frosties. You had to, like, put some milk in, then do your Frosties, then do some more milk, and then it was everything else. There was a way to do it properly.
Everyone has their own way of doing Frosties, I think, because it used to be for me that I would put the cream in. It had to be ice cold, the cream.
Yes.
And then you would sprinkle some Frosties on the top. You'd eat them, and then you'd add some more. So they never had time to go soft.
It's nothing worse than a soggy Frosty, is there?
And when you think about obesity, the things they talk about these days when it comes to obesity, I think, how did my parents get away with bringing me up? Like, letting me have cream on me Frosties.
I know.
It's disgraceful.
Full fat everything.
Well, it used to be that you would only ever be offered full fat or semi-skimmed milk when you were grabbing a coffee. But now, you have the choice of all different kinds of milk. You've got soy milk. You've got almond, which is my favourite at the minute. You've got coconut milk.
Mm.
I saw pea milk in the supermarket the other day. Yeah. And you've even got rice milk. But there's a new one.
The best milk substitute I found, flax milk. It's actually really good.
It's
a pretty good
one.
Substitute. I've seen it a couple of times, can't find it anymore.
Oh, well, there is a new milk about to hit cafes. It is cockroach milk.
Open your eyes, a whole new world, a new fantastic world of you.
Do you milk a cockroach?
I'll get to that. That's a really good question. You know, I didn't think about that question until I got way further on in this article. It's amazing that you thought of it first. So cockroach milk, or postnatal fluid, as it's also called, is the latest fad for foodies who are looking for dairy alternatives for tea or coffee. And the milk is secreted from the insect in the form of crystals to nourish its spawn of 50 or so hatchings. Experts say we could enjoy this too.
Nope.
Experts in what? I ask you. Researchers from the Institute for Stem Cell Biology and Regenerative Medicine in India, they claim that these crystals are like having a complete food with all the essential amino acids. Now, when I hear it like that, I'm kind of in. I think that's kind of cool.
It is. It's not bad. I guess it's like when you suck the juice of certain ants, isn't it? The sugar ants.
Well, they've got proteins, fats and sugars in cockroach milk. One of the main researchers on this project said, it tastes similar to cow's milk, but given the size of a cockroach, it could take 1,000 insects to produce 100 grams of milk.
Why bother?
It's going to be labour-intensive. Gwyneth Paltrow's food and lifestyle website, Goop, not sure if you've been on there, she's added roaches to the animal milk guide already. The Gourmet Grub Company, they're already selling Ento milk made of sustainably farmed insects. This is a thing, it's happening. And on the Goop website, it says, as might be expected, the process of milking a cockroach is precise and laborious. Now, I know what you're probably thinking at this point. You're probably thinking, she said it's got everything in that I need. All I need to know now is how to milk the cockroach.
Yeah.
Because we have a few out here, don't we?
Yeah, I'll say.
I've seen a couple of cockroaches in the last few weeks. If I'd known how to milk them, then maybe I would have done this for my coffee. It's a sad, sad situation, though, when you look further into it. The only way to milk a cockroach is with filter paper, and they die during the process.
Oh, no, that's horrible. I mean, I'm not a fan of roaches, but I think that's unnecessary.
And for one cup of tea, 50 would have to die. I do think it's amazing, though. They can live through nuclear bombs, yet filter paper will take out a cockroach.
I can just imagine the marketing, you know, with a happy cockroach on the carton. Yay!
They always do that, don't they? They do it with chickens. And I always think, I bet they weren't happy. Anyway, we're going to stick with food and ask you today if you are guilty of food waste. Are you guilty of this?
I'd say we're pretty much all guilty, and I have to say I probably am. Some of the time.
Although yesterday you told us that you get a food delivery package that gives you everything you need to make what you want to make for dinner. So you shouldn't be wasting any food, Em.
No, there is a lot. So I tend to roll some over for lunch the next day. It's fine.
Ah, okay. It's so good. You're probably doing quite well when it comes to this. Well, we are here to tell you today you can make a change. Not too late, my friend. It's not too late. What is slowly dying in your fridge at the moment could be saved. A supermarket study has recently found that we vastly underestimate the value of what we discard, thinking it to be about 20 dirhams a week when actually it's 44 dirhams on average. And I've done the bro maths on this.
Okay.
A month, that means you're wasting 176 dirhams. Again, doesn't sound like too much money. But a year, it's 2,112, and over a decade, it's 21,120 dirhams that you are throwing in the bin.
Wow, that soon adds up, doesn't it?
That's got a lot of money. Texts coming in, by the way, saying that cockroaches are a great source of protein.
And what was it? Why are all the substitute milks more expensive than cow's milk? Surely growing a cow is more expensive than almonds.
I don't know. Almonds are so expensive to buy. If you want to make your own almond milk, it'll cost you an arm and a leg. If you're listening to this, by the way, thinking, this is me, I waste food in the back of my fridge, I've got things in there dying right now, then we've got some tips for you in order to save a little bit of money on not wasting that food in the fridge. If you've got any tips on this, you can share them. 4001, sharing is caring, as they say.
I quite like this one. Take a shelfie. Before you go shopping, try to take a picture of your fridge or cupboard shelf to remember what you already have. Control quantities. Roots, cabbages, squash and onions keep well, so buy those in bulk and get smaller quantities of herbs, soft fruits, salads and leafy greens.
Tell me if you've ever done any of these, because I hadn't, and there's some really, really great tips in this list. Blitz stale bread to make breadcrumbs.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I like that.
I've actually bought breadcrumbs before, and it makes me think, am I just buying bags of stale bread?
Yeah, Yeah, pretty much.
You can grate odds and ends of cheese, you know, the bits that you have left in the fridge that aren't enough to be anything special on a cracker, but you can actually shave them down, put them in a little bag, and they'll work on the top of pizzas and soups.
That's not bad. And a lot of people think, oh, the cheese has got that white stuff growing on it. Just cut it off. It's fine. It's just penicillin. No bother.
I do that. Sometimes I don't even cut it off. Freeze overripe bananas, add a bit of milk, and blend them into ice cream.
I do that, and if you add cocoa nibs, it's amazing.
Hello. Cook beetroot leaves just like you would spinach leaves. I always chop them off and put them in the bin.
Really?
Mm.
Oh, no, I don't know. They're all right. They're okay.
I just didn't know you could use them.
No, I didn't. That's very odd.
Same with radish tops as well. You can use them as well. Turn half-eaten fruit into a crumble and eat it or freeze it. I'm against that. I don't like fruit in disguise. It's either fruit or it's not fruit to me.
I love a good crumble, so I might go for that one.
And finally, this one is absolutely excellent. Marinades. Put chili, garlic and soy sauce into the last scrapings of jam in the jar. You know when you get that little bit of jam in the jar? Shake it all up and it's a marinade for meat.
That's fantastic.
Absolute genius.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.